The Irish Times newspaper yesterday reported a return to profits for last year, but for many people who like to browse its website, it says it's putting in place a metered paywall if you want to read content on the website from next year. The technical platform for what's called a digital pass is being worked on right now. Roy Greenslade is Professor of Journalism at City University in London. He's also a blogger with The Guardian. He joins us on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. This idea of a paywall to read something that we've had for free from the Irish Times. I don't think anyone would doubt that it's a good brand with good content. It's a bit like the water here. We've had it for free, but now we're going to be charged for it. How's it likely to go down with people?
Well, that's always difficult to say, but there has to be some way, it's felt, to actually fund journalism. If you're giving it away for free, to use that phrase, then eventually there'll come a time when you can't afford to offer anything at all. So all newspaper groups, all media outlets are trying to find ways of monetizing their content, and the paywall is one of the ways of doing it. Whether it's successful or not is a moot point, but they're going for what's called a soft paywall. In other words, they're going to give you some articles for free, and then after you've read, and they'll set a limit, it could be 10 a day or 10 a week or 20 a week or whatever, at that point you'll be told, okay, you've had your free content, now it's time to pay up.
How, if you're a business, do you survive a paywall if so much of the news out there is for free? And indeed, there are instances where, you know, you can go to a newspaper, perhaps like the Financial Times. You can see the string, if you like, or the URL across the top. You can only read a certain amount of the article, but you can put in a Google search with that URL, and the whole thing comes up. I mean, it's quite leaky, isn't it? A paywall?
Well, some are. I mean, there are hard paywalls where you can't do that. So, for instance, the Times in London, you can't penetrate it in that manner. I think the FT do allow that to occur. I'm not quite certain why, but I think that's because their paywall overall has been very successful. They've got 455,000 subscribers, which for a niche publication is pretty good. You have to pay a fairly high amount to do it. But of course, a business paper like the Financial Times is very useful to people, and also it's sold anyway or wanted by what we might call upscale or high-end or very affluent people, so it's no trouble for them. I think when it comes to general news, it's much more difficult. So what you have to say is our content is so good, so unique and so much wanted that we think people are going to be prepared to pay for it. So general news, breaking news, will always be available, easily available now via Twitter anyway. But when it comes to analysis or commentary, then I think quality newspapers feel that their content is such that people will be prepared to pay for it. By the way, there's no unanimity about this. We're in a kind of digital laboratory here in which people are trying out different methods. So The Guardian, say, and the Daily Mail, their websites are free. They've built up huge volume, and they believe that by building up the volume, they will get the advertisers. I think the Irish Times believes that it's largely a smaller publication. It's not yet got a standing internationally. It can't get the volume, so therefore it's going for what we might call a niche audience, and that niche audience has got to be prepared to pay, because if they don't pay, they won't have the money to fund their journalists.
Ultimately, how successful are traditional newspapers at generating digital income? How has that been, if you like, looking across the landscape?
Well, some have done pretty well. I mentioned the Daily Mail. That seems to have done exceedingly well. The Financial Times, as I mentioned, has done well. The New York Times has done pretty well, although their subscriptions, which were running, I think, at something like 800,000, 830,000, have started to level off. But they say that their digital income is pretty good. Everyone does say that, of course, but it's really difficult to know. Everyone's experimenting, and I think this is a time when we've reached that level of digital disruption that it's really, I think, necessary for everyone to innovate in the hope that they can find some decent way of getting revenue.
Roy Greenslade, Professor of Journalism at City University in London, thank you for joining us.